Well, we can speak on the same verses this morning and continue with that. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 12, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 9, text 12 in this edition is on page 470. Please try and see a book, then you can chant with us. Everyone try and sit next to a book if you'd like to chant the verse with us. Mogha sha mogha karmano.
Mogha sha mogha karmano.
Mogha jnana vicheta saha.
Mogha jnana vicheta saha.
Rakshasi ma surin chaiva.
Rakshasi ma surin chaiva.
Prakritim mohinin shritaha.
Prakritim mohinin shritaha.
Mogha sha mogha karmano.
Mogha sha mogha karmano.
Mogha jnana vicheta saha.
Mogha jnana vicheta saha.
Rakshasing asurin chaiva.
Rakshasing asurin chaiva.
Prakritin mohinin shritaha.
Prakritin mohinin shritaha.
CDO আছে বাংলায় ওই গৌরাঙ্গ প্রসাদ বাংলা লোক আছে আর ওই সিডি আছে না চাম হ্যাঁ দিয়েছেন Did you give it?
Yeah.
Bhajans. I think there may be one or two. কিন্তু ওই গান থেকে কথা শোনা ভালো মানে চিত্তশুদ্ধি যাতে আমরা ঠিক সিদ্ধান্ত পাই ওই কথা শোনা দরকার ছিল আপনারাও এইখানে কথা শুনতে পান আপনার যদি বসবেন প্লিজ সিট এন্ড লিসেন প্লিজ লেন্ড ইয়োর ইয়ার ইন ইংলিশ দেয়ার ইজ এ সেইং টু লেন্ড ইয়োর ইয়ার হু হ্যাজ হার্ড দিস সেইং ইটস এন অ্যান্টিকুয়েটেড সেইং আই ডোন্ট থিঙ্ক পিপল সে দ্যাট ভেরি অফেন নাও ইউ উইল ফাইন্ড দ্যাট ইন শেক্সপিয়ার ইট মিন্স টু লিসেন To lend your ear. What does that mean? You take it off and you give it to someone and they give it back later. But it means to listen carefully. So please lend your ear. We're not making an ear collection, but we're asking you to please hear carefully. So this is the translation of this verse from Bhagavad Gita as it is. By Srila Prabhupada. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Those of you who are not used to hearing these topics regularly might not understand anything that was stated in this verse. Bhagavad Gita is considered to be the beginning of spiritual knowledge, but then spiritual knowledge is the highest topic. So even though we say it's the beginning, it's not easy. Just like if we say an introductory course in astrophysics, it's not going to be easy. So this is a much higher subject than astrophysics because it's the subject of who made astrophysics studyable? Who made the whole universe? Who set it up with all the laws? It's a little boy who dances around and plays on a flute and no one believes that because they think that, well, it should be a big scientist. Well, he is a big scientist, but he's such a big scientist that everything's going on very nicely while he plays his flute. So this is a big mystery. You can look through any Hubble Bubble telescope, but you won't find Krishna. We have to find Krishna by lending our ears. This is how to find out Krishna. How will we find out the ultimate scientific reality? By lending our ears. Shruti Kshanapata. This is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. The path of seeing by hearing. People say, can you show me God? Yes, but you have to see through the ear. First see through the ear. Otherwise, we'll say, come to the temple, here is God. And say, oh, I don't see God, I just see a statue. But if we hear, then we'll understand that Pratima Nahatumi Shakat Prajendra Nandam. This is mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is not simply Pratima, statue, but this is directly Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what this verse is stating, those who are thus bewildered. Now thus refers to the previous verse in which Lord Krishna states that persons who consider Krishna to be a human being, such persons, they are called by Krishna Murha. Who knows that word Murha, what that means? Does anyone know Murha? It means a fool, yes. This is still used sometimes in Hindi, not much. In Bengali sometimes. I've seen, once I saw some people building a house and someone dropped a bunch of bricks. And someone else called out, tu murha. I heard him use that word. It's not very common, I think. Is it commonly used now? So, persons who think that Krishna is an ordinary human being, they become attracted by demoniac and atheistic views. In other words, they become attracted to, a technical term is ku-siddhanta. Siddhanta means the proper understanding. And ku-siddhanta means we think it's right, but it's wrong. Just like people think that Charles Darwin's great-grandfather was a monkey. But they're wrong, and Charles Darwin was wrong. That's a ku-siddhanta. Or people, ku means bad. Or people think that we're making a 27-kilometer tunnel and we're going to make a new, we're going to find out how the universe was made. But that's also wrong, because that's not the method to find out. But people think, oh, this is wonderful, advancement of science. Only, how many billions of euros are they spending on that tunnel in Switzerland? Well, it's Swiss francs. Whatever it is, it's enough to maintain all of us very nicely all our lives, and many other people also. But for the advancement of science, we have to build a 27-kilometer tunnel and throw some particles. And this will prove absolutely nothing. But they think that it's supposed to prove something. But however much they can build a 2,700-kilometer tunnel and make all kinds of experiments, but they won't find Krishna, and they won't find the ultimate cause of everything, because it's not possible by any mundane method to find the ultimate source of everything, who is in a different dimension. That is Turiya. He is called Turiya. Means he's in the fourth category, beyond space, time and thought. So we won't find Krishna in microscopes or telescopes or any scope. But we can hear about Krishna and understand him. But people who a priori, which means without even thinking about it, they just accept as a fact, well, if there was Krishna, he must have been an ordinary human being. Then they are attracted to wrong ideas, because they got the wrong idea in the first place. They hear about Krishna and they say, well, if there was any Krishna, he must have been a human being, because he had two legs and he had two hands and he appeared in a certain time and space, so he must be a human being like everyone else. But that's not true. Lord Brahma thought the same thing. He thought Krishna was an ordinary person, and he was wrong. Krishna showed him to be wrong. Indra, the great king of heaven, thought the same thing. He was wrong. So the very idea that we can understand everything just through our tiny intelligence and our extremely limited sensual perception is a big illusion in the first place. If we see this building and we try to find out who made it, well, we could find out because it's fairly recently built. But we couldn't, well, we could find out. There must be records of who's the architect, who is the construction, who is the managing the construction company. There's a way to find out. There's a way to find out how the universe was built also. We have to go to the proper records. That's called Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. But if we say, no, I won't consult the records, I'll just make an experiment. I'll build a tunnel and throw some particles at each other. And then in this way I'll find out how this building came into being. I mean, obviously this building came into being by chance. It's obvious, isn't it? I mean, I couldn't build a building like this, no one could build a building like this. It's obvious it came into being by chance, isn't it? I mean, you get storms in this part of the world, so obviously there must have been a very big storm at one point in time and this whole building came into being. It's obvious, isn't it? I mean, it's scientific, isn't it? You're all very scientific people. And you know that the whole universe came into being by chance, so then if the whole universe came into being by chance, then obviously this building also came into being by chance. And we don't have to pay off the mortgage because it just came to being by chance. We'll make a court case. Why are you asking money? You're claiming that you built the building, but it came into being by chance, so why should we pay you? And then they'll say, well, by chance someone's going to grab you by the scruff of the neck and throw you into prison. And you can, by chance, you can sit there and rot in prison. So, such people are foolish. They're called mudhas by Krishna. It's a very apt description. So such persons, even though they may think that they are greatly knowledgeable and greatly expert in performing activities, actually all their efforts simply end in suffering and misery. That's all. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jathare shayanam. All the great philosophers and speculators and scientists and basically everyone in the material world who doesn't recognize Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they end up entering another womb, which is not very pleasant. And what happens after that? They pop out of the womb, struggle for some time, die, and enter another womb. And what happens after that? Well, you can just make a recording of that statement. It goes on and on and on and on and on until we accept Krishna. So we should become a devotee of Krishna. But there is a warning here in the purport. Srila Prabhupada opens the purport by saying, there are many devotees who assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, but at heart do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the Absolute Truth. For them, the fruit of devotional service going back to Godhead will never be tasted. I'm just looking to see who we got online here. We have Madhava. I don't know which Madhava that is. We have Madhav Chandra, Madhav Gopinath, and Madhava. Maybe that's Madhav from Vallabhvidyanagar. There's Somya Shanmuganathan. Somya. Is he initiated now? What's his name? Somya, you don't know who that is. Which Somya? It's not from here, not from Seattle. We have Sri Giridhari Das, I know who that is very well. And Vidura Das. Well, I didn't know he was a computer buff, but maybe he is. Vidura Das from Salem. Hare Krishna to you all. So, for persons, yes, so Prabhupada writes here that people assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness, but they are not, because they do not actually accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For them, the fruit of devotional service going back to Godhead will never be tasted. Similarly, those who are engaged in fruitive, pious activities and who are ultimately hoping to be liberated from this material entanglement will never be successful either because they deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. In other words, persons who mock Krishna are to be understood to be demonic or atheistic. As described in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, such demoniac miscreants never surrender to Krishna. Therefore, their mental speculations to arrive at the absolute truth bring them to the false conclusion that the ordinary living entity and Krishna are one and the same. With such a false conviction, they think that the body of any human being is now simply covered by material nature, and that as soon as one is liberated from this material body, there is no difference between God and himself. Have you ever heard that theory before? When we die, we'll all become God. It's not a very good idea, is it? But many people believe that. I think, well, I'm God now, but I'm just doing my leela of having to go and work like an ass and having toothache and constipation and all this kind of thing. But it's just my leela, but after I die, I'll be fully God. So watch out. You better not mistreat me, because don't look at me the wrong way, because I'm God. And we find people, often in our attempts to preach Krishna consciousness, we find people who they become annoyed and say, well, I'm God. They come out, I'm God, I'm God. And we're supposed to believe them. Once Srila Prabhupada, in a meeting in Glasgow, in Scotland, at the end of the meeting, a man stood up and said, I am God. And Prabhupada said to him, you are not God, you are dog. And the dog had to, everyone clapped Prabhupada's statement, and the dog had to back down from, but he probably still thought he was God, because it's crazy. Another time someone stood up, it's quite common that people claim themselves to be God. When we're trying to establishing Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and people they become, I'm God. So one time Prabhupada, after one of Srila Prabhupada's lectures, another time someone stood up and said, I am God. And Prabhupada said, I offer you my obeisances, now sit down. So what do you say to such a fool who thinks that I am God? Well, Srila Prabhupada offered that there was one so-called avatar of Krishna who was called Bal Yogeshwar, who was quite popular in America when Srila Prabhupada was preaching there, and he used to call himself Krishna. I think he went there when he was about 14 years old. He had all pimples on his face and everything. So Srila Prabhupada, he said, well, what do you say to someone who calls themselves God? And Srila Prabhupada, one of his disciples, told Prabhupada that one woman in America was so upset with this fraud calling himself God that she walked up to him with a beautiful cake, cream cake. She came up to him as if she was going to offer it, and then she put it in his face. So God was standing there with all cream dripping off his face. So Prabhupada said, yes, that's what you should do. Actually, one time Prabhupada, he was interviewed in Hong Kong by the international press, and I saw this in the paper when I was about, I must have been about 10 years old or something. I saw it, came in the newspaper, before I knew anything. It must have been the first thing I ever read about Prabhupada. And it said that this reporter was pushing Prabhupada. Well, what do you think of this Guru Maharaji, they call him? Prabhupada said, I don't want to say. And they were pushing him. What do you say? Prabhupada said, he is not God, he is not God, he is a dog. I kick him in the face with boots. I urinate on his face. What will he do? That was Prabhupada's response. If you kick on his face, what will he do? He's calling himself God. But what will he do if you kick in his face? So actually, Prabhupada was offering to be that person. He should have immediately come to Prabhupada and said, yes, please kick me in the face, if he was intelligent. To get Prabhupada's lotus feet in your face is a great benediction, but he wasn't so intelligent. So after some time he got plenty of money and he retired, and he's a retired god somewhere, living on his savings or whatever. So we can see, people may think, well, that's not very devotional. Why was Prabhupada like that? I mean, if he was a real sadhu, he would just say, well, he might have a disagreement, but he should not be so strong. But that is actually a symptom of bhakti. If we love Krishna, how can we tolerate someone claiming themselves to be Krishna when they're not Krishna and misleading people and taking them to hell? Now in South India especially, it's become like a real virus. There are so many gods coming up all over the place. One of them made a big temple here. He was, no one even heard of him 2 or 3 years ago. Now he's a big international bogus guru. And in Tamil Nadu especially, it's like, you know, every city has its own god. I used to say that when I was traveling in Bangladesh. I used to address public meetings and say that, well, everyone says Bangladesh is very unfortunate because it's such a poor country. It was certified by the American Secretary of State as a basket case. That means like a waste basket. You just, you know, useless. So, but I say Bangladesh is the most fortunate country in the world because for in this universe there are millions of planets and millions of stars and huge universe, and for all the whole universe there's only one God. But in Bangladesh, Joto Gram Toto Bhagawan, in every village every village has its own God, own individual God. So of course that was sarcasm, but in Bangladesh also there was one Hindu preacher called Vivekananda Brahmachari, not the original Hare Krishna. So he was traveling around and he was a preacher. After some time he became popular and his followers said, it's about time that you became an avatar. It's time for promotion. Now you have plenty of followers. It's time to declare yourself as an avatar. So this misunderstanding, well, it's not just a misunderstanding. Here in this verse, Krishna says that people think like this because they're demonic. They become attracted. Why are they attracted to some obviously mundane person who's just obviously a cheater, and there's so many of them? Why do they become attracted instead of becoming attracted to Krishna, who is actually attractive? Because they have a very sinful mentality. They're very unfortunate. So Srila Prabhupada is very strong. If one is a devotee of Krishna, he can't say, yes, yes, everything's all the same. So Prabhupada is very strong. So, as described in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, such demoniac miscreants never surrender to Krishna. Therefore, their mental speculations to arrive at the absolute truth bring them to the false conviction that the ordinary living entity and Krishna are one and the same. With such a... I already read this. This attempt to become one with Krishna will be baffled because of delusion. Such atheistic and demoniac cultivation of spiritual knowledge is always futile. That is the indication of this verse. For such persons, cultivation of the knowledge in the Vedic literature like the Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads is always baffled. It is a great offense, therefore, to consider Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to be an ordinary man. Those who do so are certainly deluded because they cannot understand the eternal form of Krishna. So someone may say, well, I don't think Krishna is an ordinary man, but I accept others also to be on the same level. But then it comes to the same thing. Because if we accept Krishna to be the same as someone else, then we're not accepting him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada always used this term. Srila Prabhupada didn't use the word God much. He used this long term, Supreme Personality of Godhead. He wanted to emphasize Krishna is supreme and he's person. He always wanted to emphasize this, because if we say God, what do you mean? I mean, people say we believe in God. Some people say I believe in God, and some people say they don't believe in God. Often when people come to me and say I don't believe in God, I ask them, which God don't you believe in? It's probably, if you tell me the God you don't believe in, I probably also don't believe in that God either, because people, what they conceive to be God, they actually don't know. They have no idea. So Srila Prabhupada spoke non-stop, literally day and night, explaining how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Means full with six opulences. Has all the opulences in full. Asamurdhava is the Upanishadic language. There is no one equal to him and no one above him. So this has to be understood very carefully. If we don't understand, then we can accept others as being on the same level of Krishna, or we may say even more important. Because we'll say that, well, Krishna, he was long ago, and now the present day avatar, just like there was someone in Bangalore, Shabi Ranka, something like that. Can't remember his name exactly. So they were asking him, how many avatars have you had? And he said, well, it's so many I can't remember. So he's allowing himself to be called an avatar. Well, an avatar literally means ones who comes down. So he is about to become an avatar. That means when he dies, he'll go down to hell. But that's not what, when we say avatar, that means actually they come up from, they come from the spiritual world and they come down here. But there's another kind of avatar. They're here and they're going down. So this kind of avatar, we don't want. We want Krishna. So for such persons, cultivation of the knowledge in the Vedic literature like the Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads is always baffled. So we'll find these so-called avatars. If they don't do it themselves, some of their followers, they'll throw in a few quotes from the Upanishads and mix it with all their nonsense. But they're not serious to understand the actual purport. And therefore, they become attracted to demoniac and atheistic views. Yeah. So the Brihad Vishnu Smriti clearly states, Yoveti bhutikam deham krishnasya paramatmanaha sasarvasmad bahishkarya shruta smarta vidhanataha mukham tasyavalokya api sachelang sanama acharit. One who considers the body of Krishna to be material should be driven out from all rituals and activities of the Shruti and Smriti. And if one by chance sees his face, one should at once take bath in the Ganges to rid himself of infection. People jeer at Krishna because they are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their destiny is certainly to take birth after birth in the species of atheistic and demoniac life. Perpetually, their real knowledge will remain under delusion, and gradually they will regress to the darkest region of creation. I just want to make a note of that. End of 9:12 purport. So, and getting back to the first sentence of this purport, which is, it's a very challenging statement to all of us. We assume ourselves to be in devotional service. Often people ask me, how many years have you been a devotee? And I say, well, I'm still trying. I can't say I'm a devotee yet. But hopefully, I have faith in the mercy of Srila Prabhupada that someday I may become a devotee. But to be a devotee is not such an easy thing. So, are we assuming ourselves to be in Krishna consciousness but not at heart accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead? As Krishna is the absolute truth. So we may say, well, you know, there are so many great devotees, they're chanting the holy names, and they have a lot of bhav. But bhav, or feelings, that has to be regulated by siddhanta, or proper understanding. Because it could be that we have apparent feelings, but if we don't actually accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then our feelings, it's not actual bhakti, it's mundane. There are millions of examples of this. We find people who are Prabhu hey, or some, they're singing as if they have a lot of bhav, but once they speak, if we speak with them, then we'll and try to understand their philosophical understanding, then they won't have the proper philosophical understanding, and they'll think that Krishna and all the different gods, they're all the same. It's a very common misconception. People may ask, why in this temple we don't have all the gods? Why only Krishna? But all the gods are here, because all the gods come to worship Krishna. But if we put the gods, just like in a regular Hindu temple, they'll put Shiva and Krishna and Durga and maybe a few modern so-called incarnations. But the gods, they won't actually manifest themselves there. They won't like to be there because they don't like to be treated as if they're on the same level as Krishna, because they're devotees. So they are here. They come to worship Krishna. Just like we have Gaura Arati, Shiva Shuka Narada Preme Gada Gada Bhakati Vinoda Deke Gaura Rashampada. When there's the Arati offered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shiva, Brahma, Narada, and all the devas, they're all there. Young Brahma, Varunendra, Rudra, Maruta, Stunvanti, Divyai, Stavai, all the great demigods, they worship Krishna. So they don't like to be treated as the same. People say, well, we're taking prasad from the temple. But if the proper way to offer, we can take prasad from demigods only if it's offered to Krishna first. Just like in Puri, in Jagannath's temple in Puri, first of all, they offer the bhog to Jagannath. That's called prasad. Then it's offered to Bimala Devi, who is an aspect of Durga. Then it's distributed, that's called Mahaprasad. Because she's a devotee, her temple is there, and she's sitting there getting the remnants of Lord Jagannath, and then after it's given to her, then it's distributed, that's called Jagannath Mahaprasad. So, prasad and Mahaprasad, prasad, Krishna's mercy is always maha, it's always great. But it's considered even greater when it comes through the devotees. Although that's not necessary to do in every temple, but that's the tradition. In Puri. So people, they think that if someone, if they're just all feelings, but we have to see what they're saying also. There is a case recorded in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, who was a great devotee, and he was living in Kashi Dham, Varanasi, and he was going to Puri. What happened? He wanted to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, because your parents are devotees, you look after them, and then when they pass away, you come and join me, and don't get married, he told him. So Raghunath Bhatta, after his parents passed away, he came to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now nowadays, you can get a train, I don't know, there's probably a direct train once a week or something, from Varanasi to Puri. If not, maximum two trains. You can go via Howrah or whatever. You can get a train and it doesn't take very long. Probably less than a day journey. But in those days, of course, you had to walk. Going on pilgrimage meant you had to walk, especially if you're going on pilgrimage. Even if you're very rich, the system is going by walking. That's why if someone said, I'm going for a pilgrimage to Badrinath, it means they're not coming back. If you reach there, you're lucky. But to come back, you can't expect to come. So it means bye-bye. They're going to Badrinath and it's a long journey wherever you are. So anyway, he was walking and just as he was leaving, he met one devotee of Lord Ram, who, considering that Raghunath was a Brahmin by caste, this Ram Bhakta, he wanted to serve Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So he served him along the way, and Raghunath was saying, no, you don't have to do it. He said, no, I want to do it. I want to serve you because you're a Brahmin and you're a devotee. So he served him all along the way, and all along the way he chanted, Ram, 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 Ram. So he seemed like a great devotee. But when they reached Puri, and Raghunath Bhatta introduced, this is Ram Bhakta, he's come with me, he's served me, he's always chanting the name of Ram. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want to speak with him, didn't give him any special attention. You may think, why? He's a great devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he loves the devotees. That's why he didn't give any special attention to that person, because he could understand that in that person's heart, he's a Mayavadi, which Prabhupada says here. There are many devotees, or apparent devotees we can say, who assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, but at heart do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the Absolute Truth. So practically we'll find, especially in North India, there are many people, the Ramayat or Ramanandi Sampradaya, who they chant Ram, 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 and they chant this Ram Charitmanas. But if you speak with them, practically to a man, if we discuss philosophically, they'll all say that Ram has come from the impersonal unmanifest. So they're not really devotees at all. Everyone will say that they are Ram Bhaktas, but they're not actually Bhaktas according to the real understanding of Bhakti. If we don't accept that Krishna is the ultimate, or Ram and Krishna are none different. If we think that Krishna or Ram have come from the Avyakta, or that there are many, you see, there was Ram, and there was Krishna, and then there was this so-called Ramakrishna. That's what they say. Or they say that now there's this Shaviranga, he's the latest avatar. It's just offensive to Krishna. And even though such persons, they may seem to be very saintly and full of devotion, they're actually demons. They're very dangerous demons. Kamsa was not as bad a demon as these people, because at least he openly hated Krishna. But these people pretend to love Krishna. They're like Putana, who, even Putana, she herself didn't claim to be God, but she pretended to be a devotee. She pretended to be very devoted, but her purpose was to kill Krishna. So these people who claim to be avatars, and they say, oh yes, Krishna, he's so wonderful, that was me in my previous incarnation. They're very demoniac, even though they may appear to be very gentle, and they recommend to be a vegetarian, and they may seem to be very good, but they're not good. They're very bad. Because they're apparently good, but the idea they give you that they themselves are Bhagawan, or that Krishna is not the ultimate supreme truth, there is something beyond Krishna, it's demoniac. Demoniac means to reject or even to fail to accept Krishna as the ultimate supreme. It's a very common misconception. We may say, one time in Vishakhapatnam, I was giving a lecture on the speaking like this, because I often speak like this, because people say, why don't you tell us some stories about Krishna? There are so many people telling stories. Let them tell stories. But someone should speak and establish who is this Krishna. Because otherwise people will be listening to stories, oh, it's very nice, Krishna's... What is that? Makan Charayo. They're singing all these songs, but they're thinking, oh, Krishna, such nice stories of bhakti, and I'm also Krishna, and everyone's Krishna. And you don't understand anything about Krishna. So someone should speak the proper understanding of who is Krishna. So anyway, once in Vishakhapatnam, this was, I don't know, 20... something like that, maybe... No, it wouldn't be 20 years ago, because it was... Anyway, about 20 years ago. I gave a lecture in some temple, some public temple in Vishakhapatnam. And at the end, one young girl came up. She must be a middle-aged woman by now, if she's still alive. She came up and said, well, why do you say that Krishna is supreme? I mean, all the speakers here, they all say that all the gods are the same. And she wasn't being like, you know, very challenging or something. She was just surprised, because she obviously she's quite a pious girl and came to regularly to lectures, and she said, why do you say only Krishna is supreme? And I said, well, why not? And she said, well, all the other swamis, they say that all the gods are the same. So I speak like this regularly because Hindus, they regularly hear all this rubbish, rascaldom, nonsense in the name of so-called Hindu dharma. And people, and they'll come and in a pious mood, but they don't get any actual benefit, because they're thinking that this is some, there's some statue who we can get some benefit from. But we feel a lot of bhakti. But there's no actual bhakti there, because they don't know what bhakti is. You know, one has to hear to understand. Hear regularly, again and again. It may take time to get rid of this disease. One devotee told me, or he said that he was initiated for over a year when he finally understood that when Prabhupada said that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he meant it. He thought that Prabhupada was just speaking allegorically, because that's what this Mayavad does, that anything you hear, you just turn it all in, everything's just like allegorical. And you, if so, even when we talk about God, the word is just an allegory for me. That's why it's, the Mayavadis, when they read the Bhagavad Gita, they say, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha. I am the source of everything. And say, that's right, yes, I am the source of everything. That's why we should kick them in the face, because, you know, it's, by evolution, their brain cells got formed wrongly. They need to get kicked, give them a kick and help them along the evolutionary path so they can get there. They can, you know, just like some monkey was jumping around and got struck by lightning, and then the monkey's son became Charles Darwin. So maybe they need a kick in the face to get, you know, at least their children can get it right. So the monkey fell out of the tree on his head, and then his genetic code got mixed up, and then by luck, by misfortune, his son became Charles Darwin. So, I mean, it's everywhere. That's what we're saying. Everyone says that. Why are you saying something different? You see, you know, it's not your fault. You're just a Westerner, you see. So it's nice you've become a Hindu, but, you know, maybe next lifetime you can understand. Fortunately, I'm not a born Hindu. My birth came at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, who's also not a Hindu. He's a pure devotee of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada didn't come to the West and say, my dear American boys and girls, now you should become good Hindus and chant Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. Give us lots of money. Prabhupada didn't come to teach that. He came to teach. What was the verse Prabhupada quoted most? Sarvadhaman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Abandon all varieties of nonsense going on in the name of dharma and surrender to Krishna, because Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. He is the ultimate cause of all causes. He is the person to surrender to. There is nothing beyond Krishna. We are not Krishna. These things are to be understood. Another time, this is going back almost 30 years, I was at Hindustan Motors, which is on the west bank of the Ganga, just north of Calcutta. It's where they make they're still making ambassador cars, amazingly enough. Nowadays they're making Ford cars in Chennai, or just outside Chennai, but still ambassador cars are being made. Anyway, at that time, that was all they were making. Ambassadors and Fiats, and there were the Mahindra Jeeps, and that was about it. So we did a program there among the pious Marwaris, and there was a nice painting or a poster, probably maybe a Gita Press poster on the wall, and it showed all the different planetary systems. At the bottom there's Garbhadakshay Vishnu. I can't remember if they had Garbhadakshay. Anyway, they had Patal, then all the different Tala, Atala, Sutala, Vitala. I can't remember all the names. And then the Earth, and then all the Bhuva, Swa, the heavenly planets, Tapaloka, Janaloka, Mahaloka, Satyaloka. And then beyond that, just like we have a poster here in the temple, there are so many mistakes in that poster here also. Someone made a similar thing, but they showed. Then there's the Viraja River, then there's the Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Narayana, and above that is Sita Ram, and above that, at the top, is Radha Krishna. There's just one thing on top, Om. An Om sign. They think that Krishna has come from Om, but they don't know that Krishna is Om. Om is a representation, especially liked by people who don't like to say the name of Krishna. They'll say Om. And we also say Om, but we say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. But they just say Om. Nothing more. And they think Om means from Om, which they conceive as being impersonal, has come Krishna. They want to deny Krishna. So they showed Krishna, Radha Krishna on top, but they thought that beyond that is something more, impersonal Om. So we're opposed to this. As Srila Prabhupada said in one purport, he wrote that the purpose of this Krishna consciousness is to kill all the bogus avatars. They're already killed by their own bogus ideas. They're all setting themselves up for a long tenure under the supervision of a pure devotee of Krishna called Yamaraj. So they're already killed, but we want to kill all these bogus ideas that people have, that there is anything beyond Krishna. So please understand this and distribute these books. Read this Bhagavad Gita as it is and distribute it. Does everyone have this Bhagavad Gita as it is in their home? Who doesn't have it? Please raise your hands and we'll put a Bhagavad Gita in it. Who doesn't have this at home? All right. Please give this gentleman a copy of the book. And it costs, how much they charge for it? $10, something like that? $10, yeah. Yeah, please take one book, sir. You'll have to give $10, but it will be the best deal you'll get in your life. Not only in this life, but life after life. Because simply by reading this book, millions of people all over the world, this book, how many, I think 50 million more than copies have been distributed all over the world, and people are understanding Krishna, which is the goal of life. We take birth again and again and again and again until we accept Krishna. And Bhagavad Gita, as it is, gives clear knowledge of Krishna. So it's not, bhakti is not just a sentiment. Sentiment must be there, but it must be clearly directed by shastric understanding to Krishna. And that is what is lacking in the so-called or the sentimental bhakti, which goes on in what we call Hinduism. So bhakti is not without jnana, but that jnana is bhagavat tattva vijnanam, scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. This Bhagavad Gita, it's only the introduction. After that we have to take Srimad Bhagavatam, which gives so much information. It's not just that God created everything, but information, how He creates, maintains, and ultimately destroys everything. So please take advantage of this knowledge. Most of the Indians coming to America today do so because of their brain, isn't it? Because they're brainy people. I suppose you're also a brainy person, especially in Seattle. They're mostly employed by Bill Gates in the brain department, and there are other companies also. So that good brain given to you by Bhagavan is meant for understanding Bhagavan with your intelligence. It's not simply sentiment. So please study this. Please give this gentleman Bhagavad Gita as it is, and make your life perfect by reading it. So all of you have Bhagavad Gita at home. How many of you have read the whole Bhagavad Gita as it is? Please raise your hand. Okay, well, those of you who haven't, kindly pick it up off the shelf. In many Hindu homes we see they have the Bhagavad Gita, and they worship it very nicely every day. They offer some incense. So that's very good. But apart from that, you should open it and read it. Isn't it? It's good to worship it, but the best way we can worship it is by reading it. And there's something more to do still. We have to follow it. That's the best worship. But we can't follow it unless we know what it says. So to know what it says is very scientific, you see. We have to read it. So Hare Krishna, I'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for coming. Hare Krishna. And you want to advertise the books? Books, books, books. Please take some books. You're all very intelligent people, no doubt. So please fill up your homes with books. I have a great suggestion how to make your home life much better. Get rid of the TV. That's the first thing. You can't have a happy family life if everyone's watching TV. That means you'll never talk to each other, and you just get all this garbage coming on the TV. Get out, get rid of the TV, and fill up your home with Prabhupada's books and read them. And you'll have a wonderful family life. Best. So we're not saying that you all become sannyasis yet. You can become sannyasis later. Now that you have children, bring up your children in Krishna bhakti. Hare Krishna.